Hello, I'm Brian Gelder. I'm with with Iowa State University in the Ag Engineering and Agronomy departments there. And Tim Sklenar is my co-author, has helped a lot with the development of the data behind this presentation. So the Iowa Daily Erosion Project began over a decade ago with a mission to help farmers, land managers, and the public better understand the dynamics and magnitude of runoff and soil erosion through a daily estimate of these processes on ag areas, and then we disseminate those results on the web every day. So the what we do, we use the WEP model to derive these soil erosion estimates, and we use soil surveys and a multitude of remotely sensed data sets to put this into place. We're currently on the second version of the Daily Erosion Project, where we bring together high-resolution NEXRAD precipitation estimates, LIDAR elevation surveys, GSurgo soils from the Natural Resource Conservation Service, field-scale land use and management from the cropland data layer and the USDA common land units. And we bring those data sets together and parameterize the WEP erosion model kind of there in the center. And that returns our estimates of soil erosion, runoff, crop growth that the model uses to estimate the raindrop interception. And then we actually release those results every day on the web. We've transitioned to our new high-resolution inputs. And a few more details on this. We are using a LIDAR-derived 3-meter horizontal and 0.18-meter, 18-centimeter vertical resolution elevation model. We enforce this for flow using some automated methods. We also, as I said, we get our land use and management from the cropland data layer and the USDA common land units, along with some Landsat remote sensing imagery to estimate residue cover and then infer tillage practices. We get this, the soil survey is used in a 10-meter GSurgo product, and we use that to parameterize the soil properties for the WEP erosion model. And we use this 1-by-1-kilometer, 5-minute NEXRAD precipitation product, and we also bring in county-level temperature, wind speed, and solar radiation information. What the development of this Daily Erosion Project version 2 required a new modeling scheme to be developed. And if we ran every flow path in the state of Iowa, we would have tens of millions of flow paths to model every day. And essentially that would take weeks to run one day's worth of estimates. So kind of every day you're getting further and further behind. So we had to come up with a new method to implement the WEP model based than some of the original ways that were implemented. What we've done is we've taken every HUC 12 watershed, and these are watersheds about 100 square kilometers in size. So they're substantial watersheds, but not overly large. And what we do is we subdivide these into 125 catchments using a flow algorithm and a Pucher-Douglas flow algorithm, and then we select one agricultural flow path per subcatchment for modeling. This enables the field and watershed estimates that we produce every day, but as I said, we're kind of in an unproven modeling scheme for WEP, and our main question that we're trying to answer here today is, are the model results good enough, or essentially, are they stable? Are our model estimates converging, or do we have large amounts of variation between our individual model runs within a watershed? So our generic sampling scheme for the Iowa Daily Erosion Project is we start with the state of Iowa. In other areas, as we've been adding other areas, we're now moving beyond just the state of Iowa, but we're still using the same sampling scheme as we move down to finer resolution, where we move in to the HUC 12 watershed level, that 100 square kilometer range. Then we do our subcatchment, our Pucher-Douglas subcatchment delineation. And essentially, this produces a stratified sample in each HUC 12 watershed. And then we randomly select one flow path within each subcatchment for our modeling. And this results in about 125 flow paths per HUC 12. As you can see here we have the state of Iowa. In the state of Iowa, there are approximately 1,600 HUC 12 watersheds. And to give you an idea, if you're familiar with the public land survey system, there's about 1,600 townships in the state of Iowa, so a township and a watershed are roughly the same size. We have then, within that, we have our HUC 12s. So on the left here, we have, in the black, we have our HUC 12 watershed boundary. And then in the and then on the right in our inset map here, we have what we start showing our subcatchments. And you can see our channels that are flowing between the subcatchments from the Pluker-Douglas flow algorithm. But essentially, that's our network of our stratified sample of approximately 125 watersheds per HUC 12. We then move from our subcatchments on the lower left here, and we actually move into modeling, selecting our random flow paths here. And on the right side, we have, on the inset map here, we have our flow paths that we're actually modeling for our production run of the erosion model, where in the yellow, we actually are, this is where we estimate sheet and rill processes are dominant and not where concentrated flow processes are dominant. So this is, the yellow is the area where the WEP model is appropriate to implement. So what we've devised for a stability test for the daily erosion project is we're essentially using one consistent weather file across the watersheds and flow paths. So essentially, we across the state we have thousands of individual weather files for each specific location. But to remove some of the confounding effects, we've standardized upon one watershed file from central Iowa to be applied across the entire state. We then selected 3 HUC 12 watersheds per major land resource areas, and there's 10 major land resource areas in the state. So we're essentially looking at about 30 HUC 12s. We don't want to look at every one, again, because it takes essentially so long to do that. And once we look at every HUC 12, or those 30 HUC 12s, we then increased our sampling intensity to include up to 10 random flow paths in each subcatchment. So essentially, we're comparing running the daily erosion project using one flow path per HUC 12 versus using 10 flow paths, or one flow path per subcatchment versus 10 flow paths per subcatchment. And we're checking to see if the runoff detachment and delivery estimates differ significantly between these one flow path estimates and these 10 flow path estimates. We're also only considering in these following results days that produced runoff. So, as I said, it makes things a little too easy if we included all days, and as long as you say it didn't produce runoff on days there was no erosion, zeros match up with zeros pretty easily. So we're looking at days where we actually do produce runoff. Looking at the areas we've selected, so here's our 30 randomly selected HUC 12 watersheds in the state. So you can see they're fairly well distributed across the state. Then I will move right into our results. So essentially, we've at this point implemented the daily erosion project, and we have our 125 estimates of erosion and runoff per subcatchment versus our 1,250. And essentially, on the lower left hand side here, we're showing a box plot of our one flow path mean estimates for runoff, and our 10 flow path mean estimates for runoff. So essentially, no real large differences in between our 1 and 10 flow path estimates. And on our right, we have two different plots of our histogram of the runoff mean difference values. So essentially, difference from that mean estimate. And as we like to see, most of our estimates differ from the mean by essentially zero. So everything, we have this very strong peak at zero in our plot here. And if we zoom in a little bit further, so you can actually see a little bit of the distribution, our estimates are very strongly centered around zero difference from our means. We have similar results for our loss estimates, so our soil loss estimates. So we don't just do runoff on those areas. We also do soil loss in those areas. Again, we have our box plots here. And then on our right-hand side, we have our distance differences in mean. Things appear very similar to our previous slide. Things are very strongly centered around zero, with a little bit of distribution around that, as we'd expect. So in addition to our loss estimates, we actually compute a delivery estimate. So our loss is our sediment that is detached from the hill slope, and our loss is our delivery is sediment that is moved essentially to the bottom or end of our hill slope. Again, not a lot of difference in the interpretation of these. Our box plot delivery estimates show mean in here, and we essentially don't differ much using a 10 estimate or a comparison of a 10 estimate versus one estimate per subcatchment analysis. So our results are very strongly very encouraging in this analysis. An additional way to look at the stability of our estimates is to compare total significant differences on a daily level for all of the HUC 12 watersheds we've modeled. So essentially calculating how many estimates we have. So we have so for our total runoff totals, we had 11,354 events where we had we actually estimated runoff, and only 310 of those estimates, when we're comparing the 10 runoff, the 10 flow path average versus the one flow path per subcatchment number, only 310 of those are significant. You see similar ratios. We have 5,700 total loss estimates, and 233 are significant, and we have 6,000 delivery estimates and 200 again that are significant. So it's very small. This is essentially less than that 5% that we would expect at a significance level to be seeing at a 5% significance level. So for conclusions, we have essentially our HUC-12 daily erosion project runoff loss and delivery estimates. These appear to be stable at our one flow path per subcatchment estimate, so essentially that 125 estimates per HUC-12. When we compare that with using 10 flow paths per subcatchment, or essentially over 1,000 estimates per HUC-12. As I said, the significant differences between this 1 and 10 flow path estimate comparison are less than that 5% we would expect by our 5% significant test. And essentially, it looks like increasing the number of flow paths to more than one per subcatchment is unnecessary. This is one of the things we were concerned about. Are we doing enough estimates? And possibly even less than one might be necessary. So we may not actually have to make a one flow path for every subcatchment. To give you a little bit of idea of what we're seeing for temporal variability, here's our Iowa results for the years from 2007 to 2014. And we show the USDA National Resources Inventory on the right-hand side. We show a much greater difference between years than they do. Essentially, they're looking at a longer-term average, and we're starting to capture that temporal variability that you see from very low precipitation years like 2012 to higher precipitation years. We also show that spatial variability. So we're generating similar results, but preserving a lot of the temporal and spatial resolution that we like to see.